Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the prophet Jeremiah, from the 17th chapter of Jeremiah. We'll be reading verses 5 through 10. It is found on page 665 of your pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately corrupt. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the mind and try the heart, to give to every person according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Our epistle reading will come from 1 Corinthians. We'll be reading from the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, as we have been doing for the last couple of weeks. We'll begin at verse 12 and read through verse 20 of the 15th chapter, which is found on page 1001 of your pew Bibles. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. Now, if Christ is preached as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Our gospel reading is from the Gospel of Luke this morning. We'll be reading from the 6th chapter of Luke's gospel. We'll be reading from verses 17 through 26, which is found on page 895 of your pew Bibles. So at this time again, let us listen to God's word for us. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came forth from him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you that are full now, for you shall hunger. Woe to you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. It's the word of the Lord. I was baptized when I was 12 years old. It's a long, long time ago. Sometimes my faith has been quite strong. At other times, my faith has been challenged. But every once in a while, someone will come up to me and they'll ask, "You don't still believe in that stuff, do you?" And by stuff, they mean, of course, the assertions of our Christian faith. And I always tell them, yes, in fact, I do believe. In fact, the older that I get, the more convinced I am about the truths of our Christian faith. But I have to admit that for those whose hearts and minds have been held captive and conditioned by the forces and powers of death, there are certain things about our faith that is just hard for them to believe. Take the resurrection, for example. We believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. We believe that he is the first fruits of the new creation. And not only that, but we believe that what God has done for Jesus, that God will one day do for all of us, and indeed for the whole of creation. That's why the resurrection is so important. Without the resurrection, everything else collapses. But of course, if your heart and your mind is captive to the powers of death, the resurrection is hard to believe. Hard to believe in the power of life over the power of death. And so when we believe in the power of death, we start making our deals with death. We start making our accommodations to the power of death. We start prioritizing our lives so that they are in accord to the powers of death. And so for some people, it's simply hard to believe in the resurrection. But I suspect that it's easier for people to believe in the resurrection than it is to believe in what Jesus says in our gospel lesson this morning. You heard him. Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are hungry. Blessed are you who weep. Blessed are you when you are hated and reviled and excluded. In other words, Jesus is saying that the kind of people who are highly favored by God are the very kinds of people that many of us would consider to be most unfortunate. But Jesus says, blessed are you. I'm not sure that there are many people out there who can believe that. I'm not sure that there are many people, even in the church, that believe that, that the poor and the hungry and the hurting and the reviled are people who are, in fact, blessed by God. I used to live in the South, and people in the South are pretty religious compared to other regions in the country, though someone once said that in the South, religion is a mile wide but only an inch deep. But I used to live in the South, and one of the phrases that I heard constantly was, "I'm blessed." You see it on bumper stickers, on the back of cars, "I'm blessed." You go down the street and you ask people, you greet people, ask them how they doing, and that's one of the ways they will respond. "I'm blessed. I'm blessed." Of course, for most of us, to be blessed means that things are going pretty well. Isn't that what we usually mean when we talk about being blessed? It means that we are well fed, that we have a roof over our heads, we're in relatively good health, the children are doing fine, we have a wonderful 401k plan, the insurance plans are doing well, we're blessed, we're in good standing, no one is talking bad about us, we are blessed. I heard a preacher on television not long ago, and he was telling the television flock that if they made a sizable contribution to his ministry, that they would be abundantly blessed. And that's what he had in mind, that God would bless them, that God would give them more of the things that we consider to be the good things in life. Blessed. But then Jesus comes along this morning and says, "Blessed are you." When things are not necessarily going so well. Blessed are you when you are weeping and hungry and desperate and feeling maligned. Blessed are you. This is, of course, Luke's version of what is called the Beatitudes. Beatitudes from the Latin word beatus, which means blessed. And I suspect that most of us would probably prefer Matthew's version of the Beatitudes. Matthew's version is called the Sermon on the Mount because Jesus is preaching from a mountain. And indeed, Matthew's version is a bit more lofty and a bit more elevated and spiritual than Luke's account. In Matthew's version, Jesus says things like, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." That could be any of us. You know, we all face a time in our lives when we're a little down, when we're a little poor in spirit. It could be any of us. Matthew says things like, "Blessed are you who hunger and thirst after righteousness." Again, that could be any of us. I was listening to Bill Gates the other day on TV. He's one of the richest men in the world, and he was holding forth on what it would mean to have a more just world. And he was responding to criticisms of the world the way it is, where some people have way more money than they could ever spend, way more money than they could ever use, billions of dollars. And some people have very little. But Bill Gates was giving his view of what it would take to have a more just, a more righteous world. And he was hungering, at least in that instance, hungering and thirsting over righteousness. Someone like Bill Gates, hungering and thirsting over righteousness. Even he can be blessed in Matthew's version of the Beatitudes. But Luke keeps things a little bit more down to earth. In Luke's version, Jesus is preaching this sermon on a plain, on a level place in the midst of the people. And Luke's version doesn't spiritualize what Jesus has to say away. In fact, Luke simply says, "Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are the poor." Indeed, the Greek word that Luke uses is the word pitokoi, and it doesn't just mean poor, like, you know, some of us may experience poverty. It doesn't mean you just have scarce resources or that you're struggling to get by. It means the desperately poor. It means the destitute. It means people who have absolutely nothing. It means the homeless poor. It means the kind of people that we avert our eyes from. It means people who don't have anything. It means that kind of poor. And Jesus says that these are the people who are blessed in the eyes of God. And we say, really, Jesus? Really? Come on. You don't expect us to believe that, that these are the people who are actually blessed? Had Jesus stopped there, of course, with the blessings, his sermon on the plain would have been incredulous enough. But, of course, he doesn't stop there. There are also corresponding woes. Woe to you who are rich. And when we hear that word rich, we needn't think of Bill Gates or whoever else is out there who we think of when we think about rich. We just need to think of people like most of us, people who are well fed, people who are relatively happy, people who are well spoken of, people like most of us. And Jesus says, Woe to you when you are well fed and respected and contented. And that's, of course, when we add our own woes. Woe, Jesus, woe. Woe, Jesus, what are you talking about? Don't you know who we are? Don't you know that we are Americans? Don't you know who it is you are talking to? We live in the richest nation on the planet. The things that you just mentioned are things that we pray for. They are things that we strive for. They are things that we work for. What do you mean, woe to us? What in the world are you talking about? That's a good question. What in the world is Jesus talking about? Well, first of all, he's talking about God. He is saying something about the nature and the character of God. Oftentimes we try to make the Bible all about us, but Jesus wants us to hear first something about God. There was a strain of thought in Jesus' day, which is very similar to the strain of thought that is out there today, that said that if you are relatively well off, if you are well fed, if people are speaking well of you, if you are happy and contented, that it means that you must be blessed by God. God must be looking favorably upon you. And that same school of thought said that, well, if you are hungry and destitute and sick and despised, then there's something must be wrong with you. God is cursing you and punishing you for some reason. And Jesus is saying, no, that's not what God is like. God has a special place in God's heart for the people that we would consider to be cursed. God has a special place in God's heart with people whom we would avert our eyes from and walk across the street in order to get away from. God has a special place in God's heart for people who weep. God has a special place in God's heart for people who don't have enough in order to sustain their lives. Some theologians have said that God has this preferential bias towards the poor and the broken and the vulnerable. In fact, we're told that God has this bias, this preferential bias for sinners like all of us. God cares for people who cannot help themselves. Perhaps because they realize that God is all that they have. There's nothing that Jesus says here in these blessings that is prescriptive. Jesus, in other words, isn't saying go out and become poor, go out and become hungry, go out and see how reviled you can become. He's never saying anything like that. Though if you are a disciple of Christ, chances are pretty good that you might find yourself hungry. Chances are pretty good in many parts of the world that you might find yourself destitute and poor. Chances are pretty good that you might be in situations where you are caused to weep and where your name is reviled. But there's nothing here that is prescriptive. Jesus is just stating the way things are and the way things will be, that the people who are the most vulnerable and broken are the people who are blessed by God, that the kingdom belongs to them. God's coming kingdom belongs to them. But he says that if you are well fed, you have a lot to think about. To be well fed often means that we have trouble orienting ourselves towards the kingdom of God. To be well fed means that we often like things the way that they are. To be well fed sometimes means that we are callous to the cries and the weeping of others. To be well fed is often to be blind and to think only of our own needs and cares and concerns. To be well fed means that it's sometimes difficult for us to follow Jesus. To be well fed means that we sometimes believe that we can accomplish what we need to accomplish on our own, that we don't need anyone, that sometimes we don't even need God. We can get along very well by ourselves. Thank you. But Jesus says that if you have enough, if you have what you need, if you're well fed and contented and have a wonderful reputation and everyone is speaking well of you, Jesus says you're not blessed. You're in great danger, spiritual danger. Luke has reminded us again and again in his gospel that Jesus has come to proclaim good news to the poor. And this is part of the good news, that they are blessed by God. Luke has reminded us that Jesus has come to turn the world upside down. Or I should say, he's come to turn the world right side up. We have an upside down understanding of the world. Our perspective is an upside down perspective of reality, because our hearts and our minds are often conditioned by the power of death. And because we believe in the power of death, we again make our accommodations to death. If we can just go out and get enough stuff for ourselves, we say, then we'll be all right. That's the power of death speaking to us. If we can just go out and feed ourselves and not worry about other people, we'll be all right. That's the power of death speaking to us. But we believe in the power of life. We believe in the power of the resurrection. We believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. We believe in God's coming kingdom. Yes, I agree with Paul. If it's for this world only that we're living, then yes, we would be the most miserable of creatures, because we know how this world conditions us to see. But we believe in the kingdom of God. We believe in God's coming kingdom, which is good news. Good news for all of us, but good news especially for the kinds of people that Jesus has declared to be blessed. And I believe in that. I believe in that world. I believe in that coming kingdom. I believe what Jesus says this morning when Jesus says that the blessed ones are the ones in our world who are most in need of God. There was a wonderful quote I ran across this week by the writer Frederick Buechner, who talks about the upside down character of the coming kingdom and the upside down character of how we are called to live our lives. Buechner writes, "The world says, mind your own business. And Jesus says, there is no such thing as your own business. The world says, follow the wisest course and be a success. And Jesus says, follow me and be crucified. The world says, drive carefully. The life you save may be your own. And Jesus says, whoever would save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. The world says, law and order. And Jesus says, love. The world says, get. And Jesus says, give. In terms of the world's sanity, Jesus is a crazy hoot. And anyone who thinks he can follow him without being a little crazy too is laboring less under a cross than under a delusion. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in the resurrection. I believe in the power of life. I believe in the coming kingdom. I believe that I am blessed. And I believe that you are as well. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have called us to be your blessed people. You have called us to be your disciples. You have called us to follow the way of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who was made poor so that we could be rich, the one who wept so that we might have life. The one who was ridiculed and beaten and laughed at and scoffed at so that we might have the privilege of being your children. Help us to live into the blessedness that Jesus has provided for all of us. In his name we pray. Amen.